my God.
Fourth and goal for the Bears. Williams, first look, not there. Back of the end zone, DJ Moore! Touchdown, Chicago!
Oh, my goodness. Omar Spates thought he had a pick, but Caleb Williams was too clever. Barely out of the reach, right over his head, in for the touchdown. That may have been a season ago an interception, but now's a touchdown.
We got two quarterbacks who can sling it in this cold weather.
You gotta love it when producers do great jobs. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out. 104.3 The Score. DJ Moore will not be back. Little in the middle, but he's not coming back. A little up the middle, but he's not coming back. Just the touchdowns.
New parody coming?
No. I'll leave that to Spiegel and those guys. But damn, DJ Moore. It's going to be a lot of Luther Burden. A lot of Luther Burden. I think he's going to be the exciting one next year on the offense. I think he'll be the one to kind of do it because teams are going to focus on Roma Dunze and Colston Loveland.
Really quickly, Gabe, you want to revisit what I said last week?
What's that?
Colston Loveland leading the Bears in receiving yards.
Zero chance.
You still not with me?
Not even 1%.
Because I remember what you said about having to kind of pick your lane, and I'm fully committed to that lane. Colston Loveland, I'm even more confident now that the Bears traded DJ Moore.
Stop it.
He's going to be leading the team in receiving yards this year.
Hey, you know what? We were talking about having strong opinions when you're doing sports radio. I like it.
I truly think so. 900 plus.
Baby T, I like it. That's a strong one. Stick to it. It's wrong, but stick to it.
Luther Burden or Roma Dunze?
No, don't waver. Don't waver.
You give more
facts as to why you think it's true. That's don't waver. Don't Luther Burden me.
But I want to know
give me an out.
If you had to pick, who's leading the Bears in receiving yards in 2026?
That's what you say. But you throw it back like this. You say, okay, then who's leading the Bears in
all right, receiving? Fair enough.
I got you because you got your point. I like that. You got your point. I want to have my football. That's why we do.
All
that.
Right.
I got you. Who will lead? I just told you. Luther B. No, it's going to be Roma Dunze. Let's be very clear. Here's the difference between, and I talked about it a second ago, Caleb Williams, Pac-12 after dark, they played in the same conference, guys. For those of you that don't remember that, Caleb Williams at USC, Roma Dunze at Washington, Michael Penix Jr. just lofting the ball up in the air for Roma Dunze. Caleb Williams saw that week in and week out for 2 years. 2 years. Think about that. He's only 24. Two of his years playing football at a high level, he had to watch Roma Dunze bust his ass. And now he gets to throw him the ball. He understands what he's doing. So I say that to say, without Keenan Allen there, year one, right? Without DJ Moore there, year two, it's Caleb's show, and he gets to throw it to his guy, Roma Dunze, now. And he will. He will. And the key is Rome and his health. That foot is not anything. We've seen Bears wide receivers deal with injuries and not be able to stay on the field. So, you know, it's scary to think, you know, whatever issue Rome has, that it could be one that's lingering. Because then you're really screwed if it's Luther Burden, Colston Loveland.
Well, I, to your point, too, I genuinely am going to find it interesting to see the emergence of Roma Dunze because, to your point, him and Michael Penix, it was sort of like a, oh, here, I'll throw it up, and you'll go and catch it.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson, I remember him saying during the season, we don't really like to do that, those one-on-ones, right, go up and get it type of situation. So to your point, coming off an injury, I'm really interested to see what he's going to do to maybe make Roma Dunze more of a priority in the offense.
Well, I just think if you get into a situation where he can scheme Roma Dunze open, yes, he did say we don't just throw it up to throw it up, and that's what him and Caleb Williams have in common, the two of them, and that's why it works well. But there were also moments where Caleb was at the podium and said, if I got DJ Moore on the outside, I'm throwing it to DJ Moore because I know he's open. Well, guess what? That's going to be Roma Dunze now. When Rome's one-on-one against CB2, because CB1's, you know, in the slot with Luther or on the other side, and they scheme it just wherever Rome's on the number two, one-on-one matched up, it's over. Like, that's where the ball is going. Because to your point, that's what Michael Penix did. And Caleb Williams saw it for 2 years. And now there isn't – he doesn't have – again, like people – when you're going to hear people talk about what the wide receiver room is going to look like for the Bears, think back to Keenan Allen being there. How difficult it was for Caleb Williams, who's coming from USC. Keenan Allen's playing his whole career on the West Coast. He's probably grew up watching him. Now he's throwing him the ball. Yes, throwing the ball. I got to throw you the ball. I can't throw it to anybody else. Then it's DJ Moore there, and you're like, oh, my God, I got these new weapons. I got Coastal Levin. I got Ben Johnson. DJ Moore. It's tough. But now, again, less is more. I think it's going to look a little different. But what did Coach Wannstedt, former Chicago Bear head coach, former Dolphin head coach, coordinator for the Cowboys, Pitt head coach, what did he have to say about DJ Moore? What did it mean for the Bears? He talked with Spiegel and Holmes about it. I want you guys to take a listen. Here it is on 104.3 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt wanted to get in and talk some Bears with us. And Tanny, of course, throwing a little Lou Holtz in there.
Boy, that is cold, you know? Unbelievable.
Right. Guy, you make yourself available to us, Coach, which is beautiful, so we can talk about DJ Moore and this Bears situation, and Tanny ambushes you with Lou Holtz threatening to kick all your asses from Catholics versus convicts. What the hell?
Well, that really wasn't going to happen, but, you know, I was just, God, you know, the guy just passed away. I mean, he's a great guy, great coach, a friend, you know, it's... You know, hopefully he, and I'm sure he did have a great, great life, really, honestly, in all seriousness. Tanny, all seriousness, okay? Yeah.
Tanny, be serious. Be serious now.
All right, then let's get serious. Coach, the Bears have agreed to a trade with the Buffalo Bills. The Bears are going to get a second round pick this year. It's number 60 overall. The Bills, when the league year starts, are going to get DJ Moore pending a physical and a fifth round pick. So what's your initial reaction to it?
Well, initially, I think, as most of the league, everybody's saying, well, wow, this is their best, most experienced, a la la receiver. But, you know, I said this on our show there in October. I thought that DJ Moore would have had the possibility of being traded before the trade deadline during the middle of the season. And, you know, when you trade a player, and this is a heck of a deal by Ryan Poles, because any player can be traded. But the key is, what are you going to get in return? Are you getting real value back for what he's worth? And to get a second round pick, and I know they got to give up a fifth or something, but you're getting a second round pick. You are getting a starter. Okay, so you're trading the starter away and you're getting one. And I think that Ben Johnson has proven that he will throw the ball to the open guy. You know, I mean, all you can do is look at last year with Colson being our top receiver, the confidence that we had in him. And then obviously Luther Burden, there was no hesitation about him and throwing the ball. How about Walker? We were all scrambling when he catches that touchdown pass to beat the Packers. We were all reaching for our depth chart to find out who the guy was. So the point that I'm making is that this is not a coaching staff or a head coach that says, I'm only going to throw the ball to my Pro Bowl receiver and we're going to move him around and we're going to force feed him the ball. That's not the philosophy here. So I really like it, you know, and whether they take a trip. And I was looking through my list because I'm coming up there to do some draft shows here in a month or so. And I was looking through my Big Ten stuff. I'm going to do some Big Ten when I'm in Chicago. And you know, I got possibly five receivers just out of the Big Ten conference, possibly first-round draft picks. I throw that out because if you really wanted a receiver, there's going to be some of these guys that fall, and other ones around the country, there's going to be some quality receiver depth in that second round. You know, I wouldn't take one in the second round. Me personally, I think it's offensive line. I think it was offensive line in my mind even before Dahmer retired, but even more so now, or defensive line. If there's a dominating pass rusher or a dominating tackle, I'd take him. But it really gives you an opportunity to get us another starter, and that's what we got to keep our focus on.
Boy, there's a ton of great stuff in that answer from Dave Wannstedt here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. First of all, every year in the draft, it's a great year for wide receivers. This is just the case now because there's so many good ones. It's so deep, and you're right. They'll draft one somewhere, and he'll be cheap. But the point you made about the egalitarian nature of the offense, Ben just wants to throw to the open guy. And that's what Caleb is being trained to do as well. Just find the open guy, whoever it is. So you can't necessarily have a $26 million guy there. So it's like, so the Bears are not a team where the prototypical number one big money, big guy makes that much sense, right? So, yep.
Absolutely.
So who's the leading receiver on this team next year? Who knows?
Tight end. Yeah. I mean, this year was a tight end this year, you know?
Yep.
But they might draft another tight end. I don't know how they feel about their third and 14 guys, but you know, that's the style of offense we're going to run. So, you just don't know. And I missed a couple guys. Who's the one kid, the receiver? I don't have the depth chart in front of me.
Lamide Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus caught a lot of big plays.
But he's a free agent. He's a free agent too, coach.
Devin Duvernay.
Duvernay, the return guy, he made some plays. I mean, it was crazy. But so it just reinforces the point that, hey, we're going to get a guy, whether it's a veteran guy that comes in on a one-year deal like Zacchaeus did, or whether we draft a guy down the road, you know, we're going to have a guy in there that if they like him, they're going to throw him the ball.
Coach, since you brought it up, let's talk about those receivers that you like. Are we talking about Omar Cooper? Are we talking about Lemon, the kid from USC? Who are the Big Ten wide receivers that you like?
Yeah, I mean, everybody I'm talking to, you know, starts the list with Tate from Ohio State. Just because he is not the fastest, but he is the best route runner. They think he's the most polished of all the receivers coming out. You know, I mean, again, this is a little bit early. And then you're right. The Lemon kid from USC is a guy. Boston from Washington.
Denzel
Boston.
People
got him. Yep. They got him in the first round. You talked about Cooper from Indiana going in the first round. Yes, to answer your question, I mean, that's four, possibly five guys before we even get into the second round.
You made a great point also about the trade value. I'm with you. To come out of this with a second-round pick, and I know it's a low two because Buffalo had a pretty good year.
60.
So number 60 overall. But still, to come out of here with that, there must have been competition for DJ Moore, don't you think? There must have been a few teams.
100%. Yep, 100%.
Yeah, to end up with this. And then Joe Brady, like this might work out really well for DJ Moore in Buffalo with Joe Brady, who we had very good years with in Carolina. It's fit matters. Context matters so much in the NFL. And if DJ has a great year, should Bears fans be freaking out if DJ has a great year in Buffalo?
No, I mean, you know, you're Josh Allen's your quarterback, so you're going to get your share of passes. We know that. and good passes, you know, I mean, it's going to give him an opportunity to make some plays. But that's not even consideration. You know, I mean, it's time for Rome to step up. I mean, we keep saying he was Caleb's favorite guy and top receiver. What's your third year? This is your year. So he needs to come up and play big this year. And Bird needs to take a step forward. And Loveland and, you know, and some of these other guys will get better. So, like I said, there's only one football, right? There's only one football. And we're going to run it. We've proven this year that we're not going to be a 50 passes a game offense. We're going to be balanced. You know, it's going to be 30, 35 passes a game throwing the football. So, I like it. I like it a lot. And with the needed offensive line, you know, even before Dahmer retired, I said it, offensive tackle was a need. And let me just tell you why. I've been talking on so many different shows. I don't want to be repeating myself, but, you know, there has been talk in the NFL that the tackle position is not as important as it was back in the day, because teams aren't running it and play action pass under center. Now they're in the shotgun, snap the ball, quarterback, the ball comes out, right? So you don't have to protect the backside of the quarterback that's turning his back, play action pass, and you've got a chance to hit him where he can't see it coming. That's why the left tackle for years was premium on every team, okay, of the right-handed quarterbacks. Well, with that being said, we all know the Bears' offense. What are they doing? They're running the ball, play action. So I think the left tackle position in the Bears' scheme is a little more valuable than a lot of teams because of the scheme we use. So that's number one. Number two, you remember when I had Mike Gittings, I brought this up. Last show, I think, last time we talked, Gittings on his pro evaluations, pro scout evaluations, he said that the number one position on the offensive line, rating-wise, the last 10 years, the highest position Super Bowl teams had was offensive center. And you had to have a center that could play at a blue level. We had one that could play at a blue level and did play at a blue level. And now he's retired. So now, you know, I mean, I was looking at that today. There's some guys out there, but I don't know. I mean, everybody's talking about the kid from Baltimore, Lindenbaum, you know, but he's going to be big money. You know, he's like one of the top five overall free agents. You know, Ryan Bates' his name. I heard people talking to me about, well, what about Ryan Bates? You know, there's some people, you know, who's our guy, who was brought in as a center and guard. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the Mays guy at Carolina. Everybody's hot on him. Oh, he's a four-year center, but he's 6'6". I don't think he's the athlete. If you want a center that can move, I don't know if he's the guy. He's a good player. But, you know, at 6'6", those offensive centers, you know, I don't know. Then, you know, McGovern. I mean, there's guys out there. The guy at Washington, but he didn't play that good last year.
Wow.
So we're going to take a step back, I think, at center a little bit. But, you know, no one's fault, whether it's a draft pick or a free agent, just because I think we had a real good young one. And, you know, those guys are just tough to replace like that. That's the reality.
Coach, midseason you said to us, guys, pay attention because the guy with the best hands on this team is playing tight end. It's Colston Loveland. So yep. knowing that we saw his targets shoot up in the last 4 weeks of the season and in the playoffs for sure. I'm curious on how can they continue to keep him effective and what will defenses do to try to take him away? Like, granted, they still have much more stuff that they can do between now and the start of the season. But if you're a defensive coordinator and go, hey, that guy is a problem and he's a matchup problem for us, can you treat a tight end like you would an old school number one X wide receiver?
Yes, absolutely. When I was at the Dolphins and we were playing the Patriots, they had Aaron Hernandez, who was a type of player like Loveland from the standpoint of athletic, more of a receiver than a tight end. And they had Gronkowski, who, you know, was a good receiver, but he was a giant. He was a blocker too. And they would put pressure on you to answer your question, Lawrence. The minute they lined up in line, in tight, and you had your linebackers in there, and all of a sudden both of them moved out to the slot receiver position or wider outside. And now you got a linebacker trying to cover one of those guys. You got a linebacker trying to cover Loveland. The team's in trouble. So you want to put your defensive back on them. Well, guess what? You put your defensive back on them. Now you bring them in tight and you run the ball with that defensive back. So you got an advantage either way, and that's right in Ben's wheelhouse. That's what he loves to do, move tight ends around, get mismatches, and Loveland's just going to get better. I mean, that's not – for what they did with him this year, people underestimate how good this kid was. I mean, he's moving. He's lined up in the slot. He's lined up in line. He's play-action passes. It's movement passes. I mean, that's a lot to learn for a rookie. And I tell you, I thought the guy did a fantastic job, and you know how much better he's going to be next year? So, you know, in a situation like that, what do? You just take the next step with the guy.
Man.
Which they will do.
Dave, a lot there
to work with. There really is.
Dave, Dennis Allen has some dudes who he used to work with who are available, perhaps. You've got DeMario Davis is a linebacker that Lawrence brought up when we talked linebackers last week. Sheldon Rankins is available. Just came out that Cam Jordan is likely to become a free agent after 15 years in New Orleans. David Onyemata is another one. You obviously had this experience as a defensive coordinator. Do you think Dennis Allen wants some of his former guys? And if they're old, but they can still play, should the Bears go get them?
I think on those guys that you mentioned, I think you wait it out close to training camp and see who's available for maybe a one-year contract, and you do it then. The linebacker position, number one, what did we prove last year? I can't even name the young guys that we were playing with at the linebacker. Three new guys, and those guys played their tails off. I think that was probably an eye-opener to Ryan Poles and Ben and everybody that said, wow, you know, this is not Edmonds, and this is not Edwards. These guys haven't played, and they were practice squad and bounce around guys, and they're playing their tails off. So I think that they're going to look, maybe draft down the road. You need another young one. I think you're going to look at the guys we have. And then with these veteran guys, at least me and I never, Zach Thomas was the only linebacker that I had that we spent a lot of money on just because he was a three down linebacker. He could cover and his leadership and blah, 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 on and on. But the linebacker is not a position that me personally, that I would overpay to get.
Coach, as always, we appreciate it. And thank you for picking up the phone today, man.
You know what? I was available. What can I say?
I mean, it's exciting when the Bears dominate the news cycle in the first week of March, isn't it? It's exciting.
Is it?
It means
you know what this shirt is? This is a golf shirt. You know what a golf shirt is?
Yeah, you wear it. You wear it when you're doing interviews. That's when you wear it.
I don't wear this around a house. No, but it worked out good here this afternoon, and I'm always willing to jump on with you guys. And we'll see. Who knows what's coming tomorrow? Hold on.
Yep. We might have to call you back again tomorrow, Coach, or something happens,
Good luck tomorrow. I am not available tomorrow. I'm just giving you a heads up.
Noted. Going to call that as...
Didn't mean to bother you.
Okay. If you're a scorehead, you got to be cracking up at that. You got to be cracking up because Dave wants that, first of all. How lucky are we as Bears fans and just, sports fans, that one, you get a brain like Dave Wonstead, right? That is just a part of the Scores fabric. Former head coach, right? But he's also just like a good dude. Like, he's a funny dude. And so his line, for those of you that don't know, is always like, I'm in if I'm available, right? Baby T always says that, if I'm available. So he's like, hey, man, hey, thanks for coming on today. He's like, I was available. It's just the greatest. And then Lawrence got it. Speaks went right by it. Lo got it at the end. Pull out the end. Can you pull out the end? You can pull out the end. Pull out the end. Speaks goes right by it. Lo's low-key laughing. And then Lo kind of plays into it and asks him to go back on tomorrow with a joke. And then that's when Wani's like, oh, I'm definitely not available tomorrow. It's just great. You got that over there? Okay. Oh, thought you had it. It's all good. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out, 104.3 The Score. A lot of discourse happening because, of course, DJ Moore means a lot to the team. When Ryan Poles was trying to reestablish the identity of this squad, he leaned into a guy like DJ Moore, someone who was durable, someone who was gritty, tough, but also had high character. This is a guy who had 1,000 yards and such. And, yeah, I think, that's why you you try to focus in on someone like that, and that's why the Bears, you know, did. They paid him necessarily. Handsomely. And now he gets to have a you know, twilight of his career with the the Buffalo Bills, and an opportunity to try to win something, to meet up with the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. That would be crazy. Bills, Bears, DJ Moore. And then Bears got some, you know, second round, what would we say? What would be a bigger difference maker? Second round defensive end.
I'm thinking either defensive lineman or safety with that pick.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you get a rookie safety that makes a difference, you know? Like, Bears get the safety. Ooh.
The new Jaquan Brisker.
And he has to guard DJ Moore or something like that in the Super Bowl.
That'd be pretty crazy.
I like where this is going. I like DJ in the Super Bowl. I like Bears in the Super Bowl. But Josh Allen, I'll tell you this. I don't want to see Josh Allen and DJ Moore in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely not.
Like, if I'm the Bears, that's not who I want to be playing on the other side. DJ Moore and Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? No.
With James Cook?
Ooh. Ooh.
Because if there's one thing the Bears defense did struggle with mightily last year,
different team.
It was stopping the run.
That's right. It's going to be a different team this year. I think it's going to be a defensive lineman. Second round pick. I think the Bears go 25th pick in the draft. I think Bears go linebacker at 25. I'm going to, you know, you got to make strong opinions. I think Bears go linebacker at 25. They're going to get like a stud, like a super stud. Shore that up. Then second round pick. Oof. I know you're going best available. D lineman. And then offensive. Oh, man, that's tough. All right, we're going to go to the phones because I want to hear your opinion. And then I'm going to give you my sure-fired first four picks mock draft positions when we come back. But I really want you to tell me what that looks like for you. Bears have the 25th pick in the draft. And then, of course, they have their own second-round pick at 57. The Buffalo Bills pick at 60. I guess when – obviously, we're doing best available. But let's assume that there's an equally – like a you know, when you're thinking about linebacker, offensive lineman, and D lineman, that at each time the Bears are up, there's a person available that has the same grade. But I want to hear which position you would take. So who's your 25th pick? Who's your 57th pick? Who's your 60th pick? Safety, linebacker, offensive lineman, and then I also want to hear your thoughts about DJ Moore. Were you surprised as most were when Daddy got traded? 312 644 6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right here on 104.3 The Score.
Philosophically, I feel the same. It's going to be the best player available. I know that may not be the most popular thing because people see kind of like on my board have yellow tags where we need to fill in. But at the same time, I do believe, especially in the early rounds like one, you really got to stick to best player available. We saw that last year. I know there's a lot of questions like, yeah, Cole, why would you take Colston? I think we found out that it helped us along the way. So we'll continue to lean in that philosophy.
No, it's that Cole Kmet wasn't Colston Loveland. You have to go get the real Colston Loveland. Ryan Pohl's talking about what the thinking and strategy will be heading into the draft, taking best available, specifically at the top end. Bears with the 25th pick in the draft in the first round, then the 57th pick, as well as the 60th in the second round. And then, of course, when you're looking at the history, the history's there. Colston Loveland in the first, Luther Burden, Ozzie Trapillo, Shamar Turner, unfortunately hurt in the second last year. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Karan Amagaji in the third is a tough one. Zach Pickens in the third, tough one. Roshan in the fourth, super tough one. Tyler Scott in the fourth, painful one. Then when you're looking at his first year, Velus Jones in the third. So oof. That hurts to say. But he is 0-3. Ryan Poles is 0-3 in the third round. Velus Jones, Zach Pickens, Karan Amagaji. And no third rounder in last year. Traded up to get Shamar Turner. Which, you know what I'm saying? Ugh. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Because, I mean, the Bears, I don't know. Thinking about this draft, they just can't walk out of this draft acting cute. This can't be. This is not the year for it. 25, 57, 60, and 89. That's where we ended up landing. And so after the DJ Moore trade, they get the extra 60th pick from Buffalo. It's just more ammunition to get starters. So you have your own 25, 57, 89. And then, of course, you need your defensive tackle. I mean, think about it. When you're talking about upgrades, defensive edge is the number one priority on the defense. Well, now it's probably linebacker. But you need a safety, a starting safety to replace Jaquan Brisker. Someone to replace Tremaine Edmonds. And then an upgrade at defensive end. So that's tough.
Well, how about both linebacker positions, too? Because what is the timeline for TJ Edwards?
In his fibula injury? Yeah, he's not going to be back either. You're right. So, I mean, you got to go, you know.
And then Noah Sewell with the unfortunate torn Achilles. So they need some depth at that position. I know we were talking about a lot about the secondary depth with guys going down. But all of a sudden now, linebacking, which has always been their strength, that's something where Ryan pulls us to dig a little bit deeper than he, you know, has in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. I mean, 25, you know, there's guys that are there. You hear about Peter Woods and Caleb Banks being there at the 25 spot and defensive tackles. 57, people like the Zaki Wheatley. I keep seeing it. Like, most mock drafts have him there. Safety room looking rough. You're going to need somebody like that. And in a second rounder, second round safety, you know that guy's a dog. Like, you're going to have a really good person.
I know he wasn't the full-time head coach, but first year that the Lions became legit, who was one of their second round picks that year? Brian Branch.
I love Brian Branch.
Dude's a baller.
Dude, his name gets called all the time. Let's see. At 57, obviously there's going to be some centers that are available. Jake Slaughter is a name that's hovering right around there. I hate throwing out names. I was listening to that earlier. Even, like, I don't know. It's too random. You know? The assumption is that the casual listener or whoever's listening just knows these names that you're throwing out. It's just too...
positions. And the other thing, too, is, like, you don't know how the draft is going to fall. Like, within the top 10, you can kind of get a good sense. But once you get past that top 10, it can go in any different direction. And depending on what they do in free agency, that completely alters the top needs for the NFL draft.
Yeah, and then, obviously, people value people differently. You know, that's what it really boils down to. All right, but phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Bears got this draft coming up. Get an extra pick with DJ Moore. Curious thoughts on the DJ Moore trade. And then, you know, the draft is around the corner. So, you know, we can't just be less in tune with the draft this year than we have in years past. This is probably one that matters a little more. Because this is the one that you're hoping you can grab some starters that can take you over the top. And that you can continue to build with. So let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Aaron out in Poplar Grove. Aaron, there's a lot of positions and needs now, but in a different way. In a different way. You're looking for an upgrade at certain positions. So for you, what's most important when you're thinking about that first round pick?
So for me, somebody, I don't remember who said it today, that quarterback is obviously the first most important position on the field. The second most important position is the guy that's going to affect the quarterback the most. So for me, that's edge rusher. Mm-hmm. I think the number 25 pick, with it supposed to be an edge rusher rich draft, I say we go there and see if we can't build our own. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch saying build our own Max Crosby, but if we can get...
I love that.
A high percentage of what Max Crosby is in a draft pick, that's huge. And that's huge down the line. Like, you know, if you had the chance to go back and pick LT again, you know, whatever that was, 30, 40 years ago, you do that. So that would be my first thought. Second thought would be between linebacker and safety, because it's Chicago and the history here.
Yeah.
I'm linebacker. Third would be safety. And the reason we're going defense, 1-2-3, is because we have Ben Johnson on the offense. And, you know, when Theo got here, it was in Theo we trust, not Benedet. And now in Ben we trust. Let's go. And I think since moving DJ Moore today, we treat ourselves to Tyler Linderbaum, I believe is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Let's go. We need somebody who is an absolute stud to pair with Caleb Williams. He deserves it. He has come so far in the last year that it's just been amazing. And I think we can continue his progress if we throw, like I said, a stud at center for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to try to do. And I think thinking of the guy, you know, who's going to be protecting Caleb, calling the plays, being sandwiched in between Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson, you know, to make a difference. And you got to revamp that line, right? This is a guy who made the Pro Bowl that you lose in Drew Dahlman, right? Made the promo, yep. Pro Bowl, played every game, played the majority of the snaps. You know, he played a key component. Like, it wasn't the strength of the Bears last year. It was the super strength of the Bears when you're talking about offensive line and what it was able to do. When you looked at the difference in numbers between sacks that Caleb had, you know, this past year to the year prior, it was just such a huge jump. And obviously a big part of that is that. So you really do want to shore that up with a veteran and not necessarily draft someone. Maybe in the later rounds and have someone that can fill in and maybe be someone of the future. But in the present, you got to shore that up immediately. But defensive line, I mean, if you can get a game record, I like what you said about LT, right? Like, it's just a matter of getting the right person in. And what the Bears have done well the last few seasons is when you're looking at the top end of their draft, they've identified guys that can really make a difference, right? For year one of Ryan Poles, it was Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker taken early. It was his first two picks. Darnell Wright, starter at the top. Obviously, you got Rome Odunze, Caleb Williams, and then Colston Loveland. So you've been able to identify impact players, but none of those guys, you know, outside of the second rounders that I mentioned in Gordon and Brisker, Aaron, are first round. So, like, he's going to be able to go into a first round now taking a defensive guy, right? We've had to focus on fixing the offense so much that now you get a chance to take a defensive guy, and you're going to see what a first round defensive guy for Ryan Poles looks like, because we haven't seen that yet.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
It is. You're absolutely right. It is. And then when you think about the second rounders too, you know, like I said, he got Tyreek and Javon Dexter in the second rounds. He got Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. I mean, he's gotten impact players. You know, Ozzie Tripillo, prior to getting injured, was making an impact. So he's in the second round. So he Luther Bird in the second round. So he's made an impact in the second round. So when you're thinking about the first round being spent on a defensive player and the next two just identifying properly who can make an impact on your team, like, you're talking about three potential starters right there.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
Sure.
My thought, and again, I'm regurgitating other people's thoughts, but I agreed with it, that we have some people that can kind of fill in at left tackle, and we might be able to scheme around that. Where are you putting left tackle on our list of drafting and or, you know, like Layla says, go to the left tackle store and see what you can get?
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum that I think a lot of people in the NFL struggle with, right? And it's simply because those that are, you know, lined up opposite them, the ones that we so covet here in Chicago, we're talking about specifically the defensive ends in the league, are so damn good, right? So damn good. Like, if you're a left tackle, think about that. You're a left tackle. Oh, you got to go up against Myles Garrett today. Oh, you got to go against Max Crosby. You got to go up against Michael Parsons. Like, it's not an easy job. So no one's going to look exceptional doing it. You're going to have a very finite amount of people. So really, you just need those that are above average and cannot let up, you know, a ton of sacks and let it be a revolving door. As it stands, Braxton Jones is the free agent. You got Theo Benedict over there. You know, so, I mean, it's really thin at that position. So but I think, again, just like the center, I think the Bears learned last year, Aaron, that the way to revamp this offensive line truly is to sign free agents, veterans that have performed at a high level already, and then draft early enough where you can get guys that can make an impact like Ozzie Tripilla. And so I think they'll go out, and I think it's of high importance, but I think they're going to actually shore it up via free agency. They're going to give a couple of dollars to somebody to be a left tackle. And then use probably one of those top three draft picks, probably one of those second rounders, on an offensive lineman to be another person that can be a key contributor in the event that, you know, they're not so fortunate to have health and Joe Tooney goes down or Jonah Jackson goes down. They're going to need someone to step in to be a guard.
Isn't that McFadden?
Jordan McFadden? Yeah, I mean, well, listen, you got to have bodies, but do you trust Jordan McFadden? Are you super happy with Jordan McFadden as your swing guard, or would you rather it be another young body that can be there for the next 2 or 3 or 6 years? That's what I think the trade-off is there.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's what are you willing to spend, draft capital or money, versus is this guy that we have good enough as – it's not the top priority right now.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Thanks. Gabe, I just wanted to tell you, man, brother. I really appreciate having you overnights like this. You've been my therapist a handful of times throughout the year, and I appreciate that noise. And I pray you keep it up. You're doing well, getting your rest. We'll talk to you later, brother.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, you know, I know we're all out here, man. Thanks for the call, Aaron. I know we're all out here. And, you know, we're just trying to get it, man. Pay the bills, you know, not let life get us down too much. Enjoy some sports. Have a beer occasionally. You know, we just out here trying to have a good time. And I listen, does it suck having to work overnight? Yeah, you work overnight. You know that sucks. So it sucks. But it's so much better. So much better, guys. When you call in, so much better when we get to chat. Because... I mean, then it makes it all worth it, right? I don't want to be talking to myself. I'm not one of those guys that's here to just yell at the microphone. So phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Aaron brings up some great points. You know, we talk about, you know, the squad and, you know, being a therapist for guys over the course of the season. And we were that. It was frustrating at times to be a Bears fan. But this is cool. To be at a moment where you've seen success from Caleb, Ben Johnson, the Bears. Now you get to build on it. You feel like you're one of the better teams in the league, or you should be. But I'm telling you that 9.5 is scary, Tyler.
Well, I was just thinking too. You look at around the league, how many other organizations or fan bases would be flat out panicking right now if they had the same exact holes that the Bears do? Because when you kind of look back at it, there's a lot. Like, honestly, there's a lot. But is it weird to say that, like, I'm not really that worried based off of how they handled last season and tackled last season, that it, no matter what happens, like, they're going to get better. They're going to figure it out, because just somehow, some way, that's what Ben Johnson did last year. So, I mean...
You're right. I think...
How many other teams or fan bases do you think would be genuinely...
Here, let me say this, Tyler.
In our spot.
We are, Bears fans, myself included, we're back on the sauce. This overconfident belief that we are the chosen people. And we fall victim to it. Whenever the Bears get good. And we're there. Where we might be negligently oblivious to the holes that this team has in front of them. But I think the obliviousness comes from, if that's even a word, comes from the success the Bears have had over the last couple of seasons in the offseason. Like, they remember everybody's been saying, oh, they won the offseason. They've been winning the offseason.
Three-time offseason champ.
We got rings and everything.
And now after the Dolman news, everyone's like, well, so much for the four-peat.
No, that's it. That they needed this. Because now they get to get the best center and, you know, win the offseason again. But I say that to say the Bears have had success in the offseason. So when you see the holes, it's not like 3 years ago where you're like, damn, how are they going to do this? They fixed the offensive line. So they're not looking at it the same. We're like, can they? Yes. Yes, they can. They've proven it. So whether it's via the draft, free agency, they've proven that when they start a new calendar year, their team will be better. Improvements will be made. And so Bears fans, yeah, you're kind of dismissive of what's in front in terms of gaps because you believe in the front office. What an idea. And granted, look, I'm sure if you went around the league, you can go look at tons of mistakes GMs have made. It happens. But again, I want to encourage you, please take your little brain and think back to where the Bears were 4 or 5 years ago or 4 years ago when Ryan Poles took over. They were in a bad, dark, dark, dark place with no talent on the team. They had to gut this whole thing. Bobby, Puerto Rican Bobby. I used to call him that all the time because he's Puerto Rican. Who am I talking about? I forgot his name.
Robert Quinn.
Quinn.
And I was at that game where he broke the single season sack record for the Bears.
I mean, come on. Sister out there winning Olympic medals for Team Puerto Rico. Like, Robert Quinn, you were hoping. And then remember, it went downhill fast for Robert Quinn.
Yes, it did. Like, the fall from grace was... It happened in a blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye. So again, like all these things happened. The Bears were bad. He inherited a bad team. Got rid of, oh my gosh, Roquan. It was bad.
Now free agent wide receiver Darnell Mooney was the team's number one target.
Oh my God. So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, we can be down on Poles, but when you look at it as a whole, what he's done to this team and where the team is at. Damn, kudos. Shout out Ryan Poles. Let him cook. What happened to those memes?
Year five now for Ryan Poles.
Year five?
Year five. 2022.
When did he start? Give me his start date.
2022?
No, I need like date.
Oh.
You can look it up. It's all good.
It's January of 22. Let me give you the date exactly.
Okay. Was it in January?
It was, because I'm pretty sure that even though the Chiefs were in the playoff hunt that year, they were allowed to go and hire their front office.
Look that up for me, because I need to be tapped in with that. But year five, damn. 815. I love overnights.
On January 25th, 2022, Poles was named the general manager of the Chicago Bears, replacing Ryan Pace. And on January 27th, the Bears hired Matt Eberflus. Did you think he had any say-so in that process? Yeah, I think not.
You get a job and they're like, hey, this is an excellent job. We're thinking this guy for the coach, though. What do you think? Nah, I don't think that. Yeah, we're thinking this guy, though. Okay, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And now looking back at it, I want to look at the list of all of the candidates that he interviewed, because he did have his say-so and he made the pick.
Yeah, he did make the pick. That's for sure.
He made the right one.
He got it this time. Luckily, Benny J wanted to come here, and Ryan Poles didn't have to do much.
I want this job, quote Ben Johnson.
Yeah. He said that so that everybody knew Ryan Poles didn't sell him on it. He's like, I chose this destiny. He's like, they didn't choose me. First thing you said when George McKessie says, first thing he said when he got on the thing was, I want this job. That's great.
I love that. And can you imagine, just like thinking about it now, what if those rumors of Ben Johnson going to the Raiders were real? Like, could you imagine if he picked Vegas over Chicago? I kind of can't now, but I'm looking back and I'm so freaking thankful that happened.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you what he thought of Caleb Williams.
And the Raiders had no quarterback at the time.
Yeah. I mean, he got to see Caleb Williams up close and personal.
Yeah, he did.
He saw what a crap show they had over here in Chicago. He's like, Luke Getsy? You got Luke Getsy out here calling play? Like, he is not even doing it right. You know what I'm saying?
Quarterback coach now for the Packers, Luke Getsy.
Right.
He got promoted.
And but wait. He was the quarterback's coach for the Packers.
Now he is again.
That's what I'm saying. So you said promoted. I'm like,
promoted again.
Back to his old job.
Back to his old job.
So, you're right. That's what I'm saying. Demoted.
True. Yes.
He was demoted, an offensive coordinator. But now
It's the cycle. Cycle.
Oh wait.
Of life.
Well, what was he before he was the quarterback?
He was quality passing control. Game coordinator. Oh, I believe. Game. I would say passing game coordinator. Or, yeah, quarterback coach from passing game coordinator is an upgrade, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I would think so too. Instead of putting it together, you that. Well, look. Either way, Luke Getsy, Jesus, Ben Johnson saw that and was like, "Dude, you're doing it wrong."
Well, and even more worse was Shane Waldron. That is like offensive malpractice. Because at least Luke Getsy, at least he had concepts. The quarterback didn't fit the concepts. Shane Waldron, does he even know what offense is? Like, did you see those next-gen stats of DJ Moore in 2024 and Jaxon Smith-Njigba's route trees? And it's the same straight route where he comes back, and they ran that like 50% of the time.
And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba goes on to be the most amazing wide receiver in the NFL.
Literally one of the best receiver in the league.
That's great. All right, we're going to take your phone calls on the other side. Of course, a lot of draft talk. That's going to be happening a ton. But the big news is DJ Moore getting traded to the Buffalo Bills along with a fifth-round pick in exchange. The Bears get the 60th pick in the draft via the Buffalo Bills. Who are they going to take? What are your thoughts on this DJ Moore trade? 815 says there's a lot of people in this fan base who are panicking right now because they traded DJ Moore, but they don't understand the business side of it. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Your phone calls on the other side. My night owl is ready to chat with you. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.